Isn't this a sports show?
How do I make a button work over here?
Do I need to come in there?
No, absolutely not. Not allowed.
I don't know what you've done.
At the commercial break, by the way, we'll fix this. We'll Freaky Friday our way back.
Well, we'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe. Will we?
I don't know.
Almost entirely.
How do I play?
Just click.
Clicky button.
Click. You just
click
part
one
three
of the
has to be on. You click on it.
What did you do?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Which hotkey are you clicking? What are you trying to click?
I don't want to tell you. Don't come in here, Beers. No, Beers, go away!
But see, if you don't, I know you don't want to tell us, but at some point, you kind of have to give us something.
I'm trying not to hit the breaking news one, and it's not playing.
Is Cart 3 up?
Yes.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Jason.
Hey, ask Jason.
So why isn't this playing?
Oh, because this is old audio. It's being rejected. You have jammed up the whole. I need to reboot it.
See, I asked you if there was text in the top left corner.
April Fool's, Jason.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This isn't the case today, so don't worry about it. But Beards, Rudy, if I ever seem like I'm in a bad mood at the beginning of a show, play that intro. Jason's comedic timing in that couldn't have been better. I love that one so much. Welcome to what will be a highly caffeinated, quick-moving edition of Almost Entirely Sports. I've had a busy day. We've only got an hour here with you tonight, and there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about. Plus, it's Seth Kaiser Tuesday. Did you really think we're going to have a Tuesday without talking to Seth? Even though it's a one-hour show, and frequently Seth and I end up accidentally talking for about 45 straight minutes. Of course we're still bringing you Seth. It's just going to be a little truncated. We'll talk to Seth Kaiser
Let's
here.
Let's go to Seth right now
and
for the next
Seth
hour.
Is live. And we're out of time. Here's Seth Kaiser. We will talk to Seth Kaiser, our friend from the Chief of the North newsletter, The Athletic, Times Ours. And we'll talk to him about some Frank Clark stuff and other things that have popped up on Twitter throughout the day. And we'll get his lawyerly perspective on some of the Frank Clark stuff, plus a lot of stories in sports that have really been interesting, some of which I thought we would get to last night, didn't ultimately have time for because of the aforementioned Frank Clark story. No new real updates there, so we'll cover whatever we've got at that time whenever we talk to Seth here in a little while. But there are a few things that I would very much like to talk about, some from the NBA world and then some stuff from around the NFL that's reaching beyond the NFL that hopefully we'll get to a little bit later. Plus, there's a bunch of nonsense that we're simply not going to get to today, which I know is a promise that I typically make, and then there's some nonsense. We're not going to get to some of the fun nonsense for the last couple of days. Also, Beards is out starting tomorrow because this little boy, our little bearded boy, is getting married this weekend.
What?
He's getting married this weekend. Beards, I did think you were going to invite Rudy. It's kind of weird that you didn't. Sorry if this is awkward. Are you going, Rudy? Are you going to be there?
Well, I mean, I thought it was in the wedding party, but I guess... Yeah.
It's weird that he's been calling you best man Rudy Salazar since you guys met, which I thought
I
was weird. It seemed like he was tipping his hand, but no. Beards,
I know you're doing
some shuffling right now. I know we have a very short show, but before you leave, whenever your voice is on this show next, you will be a married man.
Real fast, maybe I'll be there. Just Beards, you can stay tuned on Facebook. I'll let you know.
How you feeling, Beards?
I mean, I'm all right.
How's the wedding prep been going? You good?
Yeah, it's been good.
A lot of really short answers, Beards.
Yeah, it's been fine.
Oh, no.
No, it's not.
Oh, no.
No,
no.
It's a good fine.
Oh, it's been fine? It's been
I'm ready.
Fine?
I'm ready for all of that to be done with and just have the ceremony and everything already. But so, like, it's been fine. We haven't had that many major issues.
Okay. So my guesses on the food are white bread, some chicken strips.
I tried to get Slim's to sponsor, but I was shot down.
Not by Slims, necessarily.
No, not by Slims.
But by your fiance.
Yes.
Well,
I try.
I appreciate you. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Beards. So.
You know what's going to be kind of weird? Theoretically, seeing Beards wearing a ring. Beards is not an accessorized man.
Yeah.
Do you have a ring? Do you know what your... I mean, you should know your wedding's this weekend. Do you have a wedding ring figured out and everything?
Yes. Yes.
You're going to actually wear
it?
Are you
going to
get a Quelo, one of those Quelo rings that's just like made of silicone?
No.
Real fancy ring.
It's a real ring.
Studded out, like diamonds.
A real ring.
Lil Uzi Vert diamonds right there.
That's what I was thinking too.
A wing. He might put a wing on his finger. That actually might happen. He'll eat it right off again, but he might put a wing on his finger.
That'd be a great ring.
A wing. Please pronounce it right.
A wing ring.
A wheel wing.
A wing wing.
A wheel wing.
No, that goes on your ear. That's an ear wing. Anyway. If we have more time, we may try to get deeper into Beards' psyche right now. But he seems, I gotta say right now, Beards, you seem a little bit disoriented, a little distant, a little quiet, a little quick with your answers.
Well,
so honestly,
see,
Beards,
the problem is I'm trying to fix the chat because for whatever reason it's not
just
working.
I said before the show, just kill the chat. An hour long show. I have a joke and it's a short segment. Beards, you seem dejected, a little distant. You're not listening very well. You're worrying about other things than the actual show going on. You're interrupting me right before my jokes.
So everything seems normal.
So everything seems normal.
Jumped in. Got it.
Stupid.
You're welcome, Josh.
The reason we have a short show tonight is because the Sporting Kansas City show is after us. Usually they lead into AES on Tuesdays, but after the Sporting Kansas City show tonight, we get clips. Suns, game two. No Kawhi, no Chris Paul. Pew, 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 pew.
A lot of Devin Booker.
It is all about Devin Booker tonight. And Paul George. It's
also
a good matchup.
We might do this show together too much because also, yeah, as you were saying that, in my head, I heard the beep, 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 beep. Like, I heard it before you ever did it.
You know how last night I screamed and it fixed your headphones?
Yeah.
You doing pew, 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 pew fixed my headphones just now.
Heck yeah.
This is a good...
We figured it out. It took 5 years, but we figured out the headphones.
The teamwork is immaculate at this point. I am obviously thrilled because I'm a Suns fan here. Because you said we got 3 or 4 more minutes here before we should get to Seth, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So the one thing that I wanted to talk about from the NBA world last night, even beyond the Ben Simmons stuff, was this idea that this is some sort of nightmare situation for the NBA because we are going into conference finals that are Suns, Clippers, Hawks, Bucks. Now, look, we can all admit this is a bonkers set of conference finals. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I'll take both of your guys' feedback on this. Are you? Because I'm clearly super biased because the Suns are here. With my biases, at least, I am more excited about these finals. And even if I think I could take my biases away a little bit, if you replace the Suns with the Trailblazers, I think I would be as excited about these conference finals. What?
Just the Nuggets? Well, no. just couldn't have given me that.
I wanted to be realistic.
Fair enough.
I think I would be as excited about these conference finals as someone who loves watching LeBron. I love watching Steph Curry. I love watching KD. I love watching excellent players, and I've really enjoyed these playoffs. But part of the fun for me is that Giannis is incredible, but we're going to see him in on a huge stage. Trae Young in his first playoffs in 2 playoff series became a legitimate villain to New York and Philadelphia. I think the Suns are a blast. I'm super biased. Mm-hmm. And the Clippers are, to me, the least interesting team of that foursome there, just because Kawhi is hurt. But I'm actually excited to see Giannis versus Trae Young, Suns, Clippers. I think there are more interesting stories there, as not necessarily that I would want this every year, but if this is the curveball, if this is the changeup after a billion straight years of having LeBron and the Warriors in the finals, I'm excited about this. Is that unreasonable? Am I alone on that?
I think it's cool because it's 4 fresh blood teams.
Yeah.
Like, if it were, like, the Nets had made it and the Lakers had made it.
If it was Nets, Hawks, Clippers, Clippers, Lakers.
And then those two had lost.
Yeah.
And then you're getting, like, I don't know, Bucks and Suns.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a little weird.
Yeah.
Because they're disappointing because, like, all these two teams with great players, all-time players, didn't make it.
Yeah.
From out of the conference finals. And now you're getting Giannis has had his breakthrough moment.
Yeah.
Trae Young's having his kind of breakthrough moment. The Suns had theirs. The Clippers have been the worst run franchise in the NBA, and they're there too, and that's what makes it cool.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Yeah, for me, this is pretty simple. Like, it's a weird conference finals for a weird NBA season.
Yeah.
Like it's been an NBA season where, like, you know, again, trying to and part of this was necessary for players to get all their money of trying to jam a bunch of games into a pretty short amount of time, and we've seen injuries everywhere.
And injuries are bad. Injuries are bad for the sport.
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody's pretty much had them. It's been the most the highest percentage of All-Stars missed games this year than any year in NBA history. Like, it's just people rush. But it's been a weird year. and we have a weird conference finals.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah, I do
too. It's fun having those every now and then. Again, I don't want it every year, right? I don't need in March Madness. I'm not the big Cinderella guy.
Right.
I don't need VCU in the Final Four. I kind of want to watch four Blue Bloods play. But also, like Beard says, if it's four VCUs, that's kind of intriguing.
The other element of it is that there are still stars on all of these teams.
Yes.
They're not LeBron and Steph and KD, but
Devin Booker. The next crop of those guys, hopefully.
And, one of them's literally a son.
And where do
the world
you... It's a great star.
Him.
It's a huge star. What... It's a beautiful planet.
It really is.
Where do stars become superstars? In the finals, in huge playoff moments. It's why Damian Lillard is the star that he is on a team that has never really done that much. This is exactly where it all happens. The other tiny element of it, and we got to get to Seth, is think about how we talk about Major League Baseball. We crush them, I think rightfully so, because they don't make their guys stars very well, even if it's in big moments. Mookie Betts is not an international superstar, even though he's an internationally great player. Mike Trout. An incredible player, but not a superstar. He might be, I don't know what his Q rating is, but he might be the equivalent of Russell Westbrook or something. What I think is fun about the NBA is you find these stars in all these different places. The NBA is going to be able to spotlight these stars in these conference finals. And by the end of it, if it's Hawks Suns, the most bonkers finals maybe ever, Devin Booker and Trae Young are going to be superstars after that's done. And that's the case for all four of those teams. I love it. You can hear Suns Clippers tonight. Coverage starting at 8 o'clock here tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll take a break. Seth Kaiser for a truncated Seth Kaiser Tuesday is next. Summer's coming and hotter days are here. Keep cool with the help of our friends at Manscaped, who just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0.
No way.
4.0? You heard that right. The 4.0.
No way.
Compliment your summer grooming routine with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining and calling your name, fellas. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Three of them are right here. And get ready for summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST.
And did Josh mention this trimmer is waterproof too?
4.0!
In the shower or under the sun, the Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer for you.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. Before heading outside, use Crop Preserver down under deodorant to keep you on your game in the heat. After a long day of trimming the lawn and whacking the weeds in the summer heat, boost your freshness with the Crop Reviver.
Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers, which I kid you not, am wearing right now,
4.0,
and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Do you guys believe me? Do you want to see them? I'm wearing. You guys want to see my underwear?
Not really.
I don't think I'm wearing them.
No. What?
Yeah, I'm wearing them.
Beers, what underwear are you wearing?
Not those, unfortunately.
Manscaped!
I'm wearing the Manscaped.
I wanted to, but they were dirty.
I bought a 3-pack of them.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. Stay fresh this summer and shine with Manscaped.
Now it is time for very serious football talk with the man who hates money almost as much as he hates the idea of a healthy sleep schedule.
You will find Seth Kaiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
The man who has so many children, his wife figured he wouldn't even notice if she bought a few chickens and ducks for the backyard.
We could have an episode where we just have my children appear on the show.
I would
in
love.
Ascending order. So we'll do like a minute of Lucas, then 2 minutes of Isabel, then 3 minutes of... Man, I have a lot of kids.
The man who does all of this while being a lawyer in a state that has snow all 12 months of the year.
Until it freezes... I'm okay.
Yeah.
I actually felt very at home driving through southern Iowa. It was snow everywhere, and people were slowing down to like 40. It was adorable. I was driving slowly, but I literally was hanging my head out the window screaming, and that was disconcerting.
It's Seth Kaiser of the Chief in the North newsletter, The Athletic, and the Times Hours podcast on Almost Entirely Sports.
It's a truncated Seth Kaiser Tuesday here on Almost Entirely Sports. Just the 1 hour show tonight. But, you know, we had to get our little Seth conversation. And also, because I don't know if anybody remembers, but there was sort of a relatively major legal development around the Kansas City Chiefs that sort of started coming out yesterday. And we'll get to that in a second. But honestly, Seth, I already have, what do you think this is going to mean? Maybe it doesn't mean yet fatigue at this point. And I want to talk about something else that popped up on Twitter today first, if that's all right with you.
That sounds great. We can all use a break from the more weighty topics of the world.
And we'll get to it, everybody. We're going to get to it, all right? And if you want to get more, you can, you know, follow Seth on Twitter, @RealMNChiefsFan. You can read him in the Chief in the North newsletter, mnchiefsfan.substack.com, even in The Athletic at theathletic.com, or on the Times Ours podcast. So many places to hear from Seth about all sorts of things. But right now, I want to talk about something that I just... I regret things that I tweet relatively rarely. Sometimes I don't really regret the thing that I say, but sometimes it's the way that I said it, or sometimes it's not even the way that I said it, but it's simply what ends up happening after I've said it. And today I just had a fully regrettable tweet because our friend raised from the dead, Kent Swanson, tweeted about, I said something like, I can't even remember what Kent said now. Here's the thing. Here's the result of this is that I just muted this thread because I don't care. He tweeted, is a patty melt a sandwich or a cheeseburger? I said, burgers are a type of sandwich, though. And then my mentions devolved into something sort of nightmarish. So you walk me through what's happened as I have basically rolled that grenade out there, muted the thread, and walked away.
Well, so it's kind of tough because I ended up in the midst, like, your comment there, I think, came out in the middle of, like, a wide assortment of my mentions right now. I can't find anything right now. Like, because I made a statement that I knew was going to get some pushback. You know, this all started, I blame Dan Orlovsky for this.
Wait, what else did you say today? I haven't seen this.
I just, so you had your food thing. We're talking about the sandwich thing. Dan Orlovsky, he tweeted that he, you know, how he feels about some food thing. And he just does it now at this point. He enjoys it. And then Kent, again, our formerly deceased friend that you brought back to life, tweeted out, like, how good cashews are, which I found odd because he's not seven. Like,
but you love cashews. Like, you've talked about cashews many times.
Yeah, I like cashews. Well, and I just don't understand, like, how would you... I'd be like if someone was like... Because, I mean, Kent's got to be 30-ish. No, he's your age. I don't know. Either way.
He's a little older than me. I think he's probably nearly 30, if not exactly.
He's nearly... He has more facial hair than me. So, to be fair, so do most people.
Right.
So, I don't know how one gets to that age without ever having it. It'd be the equivalent of, like, you know, as you're about to turn 30, you're like, oh man, how come no one told me how good pizza is? It's
right.
Like, well, I didn't think we had to. This seemed obvious. And so I saw that, and I saw his mentions were whatever, and I don't know. I just thought, I chose violence today is the expression, right?
Yes.
So I just said, since we're doing weird food stuff today, I need to get this off my chest. I don't think brats are that good. I've tried to like them just to fit in. And I find them to be pretty meh. And I understand that this is going to upset people. That's the reason I tweeted it.
Right.
But they're okay. Now, cheese-filled ones are excellent. They're okay. Can we still be friends if I don't like brats? I feel like we should be able to.
I don't really like brats.
See, there's just a little too much there.
Yeah.
And you fill them with cheese and soften them up a little bit. You know, that's not so bad.
So here's my quick addition to that. So first of all, also the cheese ones, there's a popping that happens with, like, cheese-filled brats. And really all brats and really almost all hot dogs, I think, have that bite through the casing sort of thing that is a little bit – it can be a little bit unpleasant. Here's what I want to make clear. There are only, like, three foods that I will actively avoid. And really, it might just be black olives. Like, I just will not eat black olives. I don't want them. I don't need them. They're not going to make me gag or anything. But I'm not a picky eater. But I do have, you know, a hierarchy of foods. And if the only thing I could eat would be a brat or a hot dog at a cookout or something, I would eat it rather than starve. But given lots of other options, I would choose the other options than conical, not spherical, also not spherical. What shape would that be? What word am I looking for?
I couldn't even tell you, to be perfectly honest.
The long, the hot dog-shaped foods that is actually just ground up hot dog bits. I don't. It's not my first choice. That's all. It's not my first choice.
Nope. I completely understand. I understand that feeling. I did that. Now the sandwich question.
Yeah.
I can just tell you. I can't even remember.
Oh God, Dan Orlovsky said potato chips are gross. That's a bad.
Yeah, that was weird.
Hate.
Well, then he talked about like you just dip it like straight in and out of the salsa rather than like picking some up. Which someone replied, Dan's gonna go pick up some nice salsa, and they showed a picture of V8 juice, and I just lost my mind. That was great. But with regards to the sandwich debate, the only thing I know is this, and I'm gonna confess this to you, Josh,
yes.
And this might shock you. It might not.
Okay.
I don't remember which side of the debate I'm on. I just know that I am on Kent's side against you. So I'm going to need to get back on you, to you on that. I'm sure that shocks you, but that's how I arrived at that conclusion.
I think Kent is essentially arguing that you can't, that a hamburger and a sandwich are different things, and it's sort of, I think there's a all squares or all rectangles or all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares sort of thing going on. Where like I think that by, you know, the traditional bread, cheese, meat, bread, and maybe some other stuff in there, you know, a pulled pork sandwich is a sandwich, a deli sandwich is a sandwich, a burnt end sandwich is a sandwich, and a cheeseburger or a hamburger is its own thing, but it is also the explicit same structure of a sandwich. It's a breakfast sandwich. It's I think that they're all structurally the same with different marketing. You know, that's the real difference.
I have decided that sounds perfectly reasonable, but I will go to the wall.
That's fine.
It is incorrect.
That's
sir.
Fine.
No, food Twitter is the best Twitter in some ways. It also, one of the great things about Twitter that this is something I discovered when I switched pens a couple years ago. I switched to Papermate InkJoy Gel 0.7, in case anyone's listening, not a sponsor, just a great pen. And so I took a picture of the two pens and said,
yes.
I'm going to go through this. You remember that? Because
yes.
I was – the amount of engagement I got over that might be higher than virtually anything I've ever done that's football related.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I remember that because of what you just said being true. I remember explicitly the pen Twitter that came out a while ago. Somebody did like a definitive pen ranking on some website. And I remember talking about that on this show and going through and talking about our favorite pens.
Yes, we did. Man, we have done a lot of radio together,
my recommendation, I went and just found it in my Amazon search history here, my order history. I'm honestly probably going to buy more because they're incredible. The Uniball Air Rollerball Pen. It just it writes like with the ease of a Sharpie, but it doesn't bleed. It's not as thick as one. It's a wonderful pen.
You are describing the qualities that make a terrific pen right there.
Because here's the thing, man. Given the opportunity, and in fact, sometimes, if I don't have, I usually have my own pens in my bag, but sometimes I'll have left one somewhere else. So the only pens that we have here in the, you know, like in the mail room here at the station are your quintessential Bic pens, you know, which some of them are actually pretty decent, but they're very run-of-the-mill, a big box of them. But also we have Sharpies. And so sometimes during the show, I'll just write on my legal pad with a Sharpie because it feels good to write with. But the Uniball, I mean, the absolute pinnacle of pen technology.
It is a marvelous, marvelous thing. I'm not a big Uniball guy because I find that it gets sloppy for me, and I'm assuming that's a me issue, and I'm somehow writing incorrectly. But for some reason, it gets a little sloppy for me. It's a little too thick.
I mean, that's going to have to be a liner for sure, so that's too bad for you, but it is what it is. Boy, so this is, you know what I'm at right now? I'm at a crossroads because there's apparently one in stock on Amazon right now, and I'm trying to decide if I'm going to order it or if I'm going to send you this two-pack of pens. It's like $4. It seems like it's only fair. It's just a two-pack. I'm seeing if...
A two-pack of pens.
It's just two pens.
That is a heck of a gift. That's got strong, it is your birthday energy right there.
Well, so
I like that.
I still have. I got to figure out how to ask you this question on the radio because I almost just walked you into. I almost doxed you here, because a while back I sent you some fun socks on Amazon, and so I still have your address in my Amazon account. But you also have moved somewhat recently. Is the first number of your address still 2?
No.
Okay, I will not send. I almost sent a stranger some pens.
Yeah, and they haven't been particularly nice, honestly.
Really?
My wife had some luggage sent there. She goes to the house and tells them, everyone's had this conversation. Hey, we used to live here. Looks like they got sent to the wrong address.
Sure.
And the FedEx says that it got delivered here. And the guy's like, no, absolutely not.
What?
And she was like, well, I'm pretty sure. He goes, no, it didn't, all right? And was like kind of abrasive with her. To the point that I almost went there myself until my wife was like, well, no, that's stupid and unnecessary. And I said, that's true. But, yeah, this is a very common, well-known thing in polite American society, right? If someone shows up at your house, hey, I used to live here. Or, like, if you get something that gets mailed to someone, you bring it to the mailbox. You bring it to the mailbox. You bring it to the post office. This is just polite society here. Or you hang on to it and see if they show up. You don't just chuck it and then deny ever getting it, especially something like luggage.
So here's another idea. Just let me run this one by you. So on Amazon right now, for $3.50, I could buy a 4-inch long piece of fake poop and send it to your old address for them to find.
Please don't do that. Our friendship is something I've cherished, but this is that moment where we finally go a bridge too far when we're turning our segment into an actual episode of Crank Yankers, and I don't think we need that kind of juju in our life.
But they were kind. Did you get the luggage back?
No.
That was probably more than $3.50, right?
Yes. No, that luggage, well, and my wife won that luggage, thanks
what?
To being an awesome employee at her company. It was like a reward. And so she was a little bummed, but she did get to buy new luggage. And so she seemed to, her heartbreak seemed to be assuaged rather quickly, commensurate with how tired my debit card got. So
just to confirm, your old address, the numbers were only 3 digits, right?
Yes. Don't, Josh, don't do the thing that you are thinking about doing.
I could make it a gift receipt. They won't know who it's from. You know, I can take mine. It won't be from me. They'll just get a box. They'll see your name on it. And if they're real dinkuses, like you say they are, then they'll open it illegally, by the way, I think, right? And they'll open it and they'll find a piece of fake poop for being poopy neighbors.
You know, well, you do whatever you have to do, my friend. I'm going to go ahead and grab onto my plausible deniability right now and just say, well, I don't think he'll actually do it, and then whistle off into the night.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. Did you say that I could do whatever I wanted to do?
Oh, my goodness. I feel as though this feels something like an anniversary episode, doesn't it? Like, this feels as though – is this the off-season that's doing this to us? Because this is the second week in a row that we've been about 10, 15 minutes in, and I've had that reminder, like, man, the amount someone would have to like us as people to still be listening to this is – it's not low, Josh.
No. It's just
like
that
Jazz my wife would have turned this off 10 minutes ago.
It's just
like, these guys.
It's just that I could, with tax, it would be $3.76. It's so worth
$4. I appreciate that you want to defend my wife's honor. It annoyed me too. But, you know, at the end of the day, what are you going to do? I thought about escalating the situation and making a report that I was pretty sure they'd stolen her luggage.
Yeah.
And then I realized that luggage was worth a certain amount that would have made it like a gross misdemeanor. And it just seemed like a bridge too far.
All right, last question, then we'll move on to Frank Clark seamlessly. What if instead of sending it to Seth Kaiser at this address, I send it to Bad Neighbors? Or I know you stole some luggage. I don't want to implicate you directly, though. and I send it to them.
Yeah. They might remember that incident, and then now we're just looking at escalation here.
You can also buy these like confetti bomb things that you can mail, and they'll open it, and confetti will go everywhere. That would be kind of fun. Could I do that?
You can do whatever you want to do. you are an adult whose decisions I am not legally culpable for.
I could send also. A bag of gummy candies in the shape of male genitalia.
Now, don't do that.
Okay.
That we found the line.
Okay.
You're welcome.
But the confetti, you're all in on. Okay, good to know. Let's seamlessly transition to talking about Frank Clark in a very serious matter, because that's what the show does. Its absolute best is walking that particular line. And also, I just needed to talk about something that wasn't Frank Clark for a little bit. And I'm hoping that everyone listening also needed a minute of that. So thank you for indulging.
Absolutely.
It all happens yesterday. It unfolds a little bit earlier in the afternoon, where Frank Clark, we find out, was arrested for illegal possession of a firearm. He's, you know, eventually the sources at TMZ said their sources said that it belonged to somebody on his security team, according to them. That's fine. Whatever. Well, we start the show yesterday and we go through talking about all of this stuff. And there was that thread from our friend Real Bird Lawyer on Twitter talking about how, you know, as a standalone thing, it's probably not an enormous deal unless it ends up getting escalated. If you disagree with any of that, I'd love to know any other thoughts you'd have. But also just sort of non-legally, but just sort of judgment-wise, I was saying, look, this stinks. This is not a good thing, but nobody got hurt. It doesn't. There are a lot of different ways that I think I could be generous in this moment in terms of it not being the absolute end of the world. And then we basically wrapped up that segment by saying, you know, if it's a standalone thing, it's probably not a huge deal. And then during that commercial break, Sam McDowell tweets out his story saying he got arrested for the same thing 3 months ago. And that changed the tenor a little bit. So where are you at right now just with that information being what we have to work with at this point?
Well, the information is still a little scant right now. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time nailing down whether he actually got arrested, charged, and bonded out, or whether he was arrested and then released and it was placed under review. I did see someone use the terminology bonded out. Here's the problem, and I'm just going to be blunt here, and if this gets me in trouble, I apologize to a bunch of colleagues who I really respect. Most media people have no idea what they're talking about when they talk about legal cases,
right,
and they really should stop doing that. And I mean this for a bunch of people that I have a ton of respect for. Like,
some people that you're on the phone with right now.
Consult an attorney, preferably one who operates in that jurisdiction, because terminology changes from county to county, let alone state to state. And then plus, if you've never been involved in the legal system, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I see people asking me, like, this incident from March. People are saying, well, a charge wouldn't hang out that long. Let me tell you something. I'm a prosecutor. Right now, in a tab in my email, in a file labeled under reviews, I have cases older than that. Because that's how it works. Because you are busy prosecuting the cases that are emergent, right? You know, it's like, oh, we have these three kids that have been exposed to physical abuse and all this terrible stuff. That you move on, not the disorderly conduct that's under review from 6 months ago, or even a firearm possession charge in which there's no alleged victim. It's just someone had it. It's not alleged that they did anything with it.
Right.
Those just don't take priority. Like, quote unquote, victimless crimes. They don't. Maybe they should. I don't know. I don't have the answers. But I can tell you that every single prosecuting office that I'm aware of has probably about 60% as many attorneys as it should, which means you're making triage decisions constantly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means cases go on the back burner. So that's a long road to a short thought to tell sports media in general. Just because you are bright and articulate and did some research even does not mean you understand how the legal system works. Mm-hmm. And it would be silly if it did. Like, if it were that easy to understand the legal system, I would have wasted a decade of my life going to school for 3 years, interning, and then learning to practice. I'm only starting to figure out how to practice law 7 years in without someone really watching over me, because it's complicated. It's hard. There's a lot that goes into it. So I would just that's step one. And that's one problem that I'm having is just getting information, because things work so differently. Yeah. I will say this. Two incidents, even remarkably similar incidents, I would still chalk that up towards kind of a facepalm, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because especially with the second incident, you've been pulled over for it once and maybe even booked on it once. You gotta know that you just can't do it. Yeah. If nothing else, like when you're traveling with something, put it in a bag and zip the bag up.
Right.
Like, there's something called plain view doctrine, which means if law enforcement sees something lying in plain view that looks illegal, that gives them reasonable, articulable suspicion to grab it out of your vehicle and maybe probable cause, depending on your state, to search the vehicle for other things like that. And you are basically giving up some of your rights in a weird way by having stuff laying out there in plain view. So that's kind of – it's a frustrating thing to me. But like you said, it's hard for me. And again, I deal with some pretty rough cases. So, but it's hard for me to get that fired up over possession of a firearm, or it's not really alleged that he did anything with it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, it's almost exactly what I wanted to ask to try to get your specific thoughts on is putting it into some sort of context. And I'm going to come back to that in 1 second. But I don't think this ends up me going back to the thing you just said about, you know, not knowing what we're talking about in media, but the story in the Star from Sam McDowell says that there was a $35,000 bond posted on both of these occasions. That is, I'm assuming, you know what they say about assuming, don't do it. I'm assuming that is someone having gotten that information to Sam and that being reporting, not Sam's
right.
Understanding of reading the document. Like I'm taking that as pretty darn near fact, just so you have, you know, that extra bit of info. And I don't know, maybe there's more to it than even that. I don't want to immediately do the thing that you just said not to do, but that was reported by McDowell in the Star. So, that's one thing, but yeah, I think everything else, I mean, you talk about the victimless crime thing and how it gets pushed to those get pushed to the back burner while you tend to crimes with victims. Seth's a lawyer, by the way, if you're new to the show. That was probably important to point out before the Bratwurst talk. Well, somewhere between now and the Bratwurst talk. I think that everybody listening should have some understanding of victimless crimes being less important, because part of the reason that you enforce laws is to prevent or help victims. Like, that's the victim is sort of the key component to a lot of the work that you would do, I would think, in an ideal world at least. So I think that all should make sense to everyone. It at least makes sense to me, to not speak for anybody else.
Yes. I mean, that's how it works. So the way law enforcement, at least on the prosecution end, generally works, and I can't speak for every jurisdiction or every prosecutor, but I know me, my office, and a lot of places that I've worked with view it like this. It's not necessarily the government's job to prevent bad things from happening, not because we wish we couldn't, mm-hmm. but because we can't, mm-hmm. right? This isn't Minority Report. We can't, right. you can prevent a lot of bad things from happening, but the only way to do that is by stripping down people's rights more and more and more and more and more yeah. to the eventual point that you're doing things that you probably shouldn't be doing.
Right.
The government's job for us is to try to protect people as best we can to mitigate the damage when people do things they shouldn't do. By and large, the cases where we can best mitigate damages are victim cases. Obviously, violent crimes. You know, that's, you know, the number one thing, right? Mm-hmm. But also theft crimes, crimes that tend to disturb the public peace in a big way, right? Mm-hmm. People should be able to walk through the store without someone acting psychotic and making them afraid. Mm-hmm. That's just something that we encourage right. as a society,
right.
right? And so those are the things that really take most of our attention. We try to get to other things. And so even crimes like this one, so this is, from as best I can tell, it's possession of a firearm either in a place that he shouldn't have it, allegedly, or a type of firearm that he shouldn't have, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Those laws are generally written as kind of part of a concentric circle to stop a certain kind of crime from happening. So you obviously charge out, I don't know, armed robbery, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then the idea is if you go out one further on the concentric circles to try to prevent people from even get to the inner circle of armed robbery, well, let's forbid certain kinds of weapons or having weapons in a certain area. Then you have these laws, right? So these laws are more on the outside, the periphery, whereas you don't have the direct victim crime. Does that make sense as a way of explaining it?
I think so, but I also might not be that smart.
It just basically is there's only so many things that individuals can focus on at one time. And so you really, it's just hard for me to get too fired up. Do I think it was boneheaded, if he was, to be in possession of a firearm that he's not supposed to be in possession of? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty boneheaded.
Yeah.
It's just leaving you open to get charged.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like when players pop positive for marijuana. Mm-hmm. I don't really care if players want to smoke marijuana, but they know they're not allowed to under the current rules,
right.
Or I mean, that's changing gradually, and they know they're going to get tested. You know, it's like just don't do things that are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get a little more exasperated. Now, the other thing is, supposedly, based on what TMZ is reporting, is that there might have been someone else in the car with him, at least in the first occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you, you know what happens there, right?
Those are both the other guy's guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those both belong to him. Never seen this before in my life. John, I can't believe you brought this into my car.
Right.
That is.
You have guns?
That
what?
Is. Yeah. Yeah. And look, I don't mean to sound cynical. Yeah. It's just that's always the answer. I've had people claim, another prosecutor that is frequent often on Chiefs Twitter, he does a lot of good work talking about this kind of stuff. He prosecutes as well. He made a joke about, you know, this methamphetamine in my pants isn't mine. These aren't even my pants. I've heard that. Like, I've had people say that, you know, when they got UA'd and they tested positive, well, someone must have spiked my drink with meth.
Right.
And you're just like, that's not how meth works.
Whoa, Seth, how do you know how meth works?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, and honestly, what I said to someone one time was like, yes, all these habitual users of methamphetamine who are just dying to sprinkle a little of their precious meth and give it to other people. And so you hear that all the time. However, because we live in a society where people are presumed innocent until proven guilty, the state does need to show beyond a reasonable doubt that he did actually possess these guns, that he knew they were there, they don't need to prove that he knew they were illegal, by the way.
Mm.
Ignorance of the law is not an excuse in our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a justified defense.
Right.
So that might be one reason why that first charge is kind of hanging out, because if there's someone else in the car, California might be a state, and I don't know, I don't practice there, where they don't necessarily impute possession onto everyone in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in a position where, well, we can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it's his. Because this is a type of case we don't care about that much, we're just going to cut it loose.
Yeah.
That could well be what happens there, but it's impossible to say without knowing, you know, what's on the police reports, what got said, all that stuff.
We got to wrap it up because we got a quick show here tonight. I was thinking, boy, we had a really serious segment there. And then I remember the first 15 minutes were about food and fake poop being sent to an old address with bad neighbors. So I think, honestly, as a story in two parts, this is a pretty accurate representation of even a slightly shorter Seth Kizer Tuesday. So if you want to follow Seth's work, listen, at this point, you should know. It's mnchiefsfan.substack.com for the newsletter, the Chief from the North newsletter. You can get stuff sent straight to your inbox for $12 a year. It's a ridiculous value for incredibly good content. So you can go subscribe there. And you can follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefs. And also, there was a new Time's Ours out late last week. If you haven't heard that yet, go listen to it now with me and Seth and our friend Nate Taylor. Seth, thank you for all three phases of that. I did not end up shipping anything to your old address. That is not a promise that I will not be doing that at some point in the near future.
I will hold you to that. I appreciate you, Josh.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
How does his beard smell?
I don't know. I don't go around smelling beards.
Does she mean you as a whole person or just your facial hair? I guess we'll never know.
Oops.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I forgot about that entire bit, Beards. That was a real challenging one. That was just girlfriend Rebecca at that point, right? That was probably pretty early on. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm a little like jealous about the fact that I wasn't there from the beginning. No, this is not one of those times.
I see. Yeah. Because I was down here still at some point.
Was it?
That was on ESPN Kansas City.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, so that was before I joined.
That makes sense.
Which again, sometimes I'm jealous I missed out on the inside stuff, and sometimes I'm happy.
There's that one Friday show with Charlie. It was good that you missed it.
That's what I hear.
There's no way that show was ultimately even as bad as I remember it being, but at this point it exists in infamy for me.
I'm tempted to go back and see if I can find it.
Yeah, you're welcome to. I don't want to hear it.
I don't either.
Here's what I want to talk about really quick to wrap up today's show, because we ended up not getting to this yesterday, just the Frank Clark stuff, and the show got away from us. But I want to talk about Carl Nassib a little bit. Defensive lineman for the Raiders, been in the league for several years at this point. And yesterday, he went on Instagram, filmed the video, wrote up a post, and became the NFL's first openly gay player. Michael Sam was drafted after coming out, but he never recorded a regular season snap, which is kind of wild. And this makes Carl Nassib the first. There are a few elements of this that some things might be really obvious to the grand majority of people, and there's some amount of pushback that I want to at least try to inform people on before everybody gets really defensive. Also, not that everyone, with the sound of my voice or anything, but don't be homophobic. It's 2021. We don't have to be homophobic. Yeah. Don't be homophobic, everybody. It's honestly pretty easy. And in fairness, most of the sort of pushback I've seen has been along the lines of, who cares about this? Why is this even a story? And on some level, I would love to be at that place with you. Mm-hmm. I would love for all of us to be at that place with you.
That's the goal one day.
But we're not. And acknowledging that, it's why, like, I don't see color sucks, because it becomes, you're opting out of difficult conversations around race, saying, I don't care about anybody's sexuality. Well, if you really have no calibrator for racism and you really have no biases, it's really difficult to believe. I don't think that anybody is perfect at that. But if you think you're really good at it, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. You at least should be able to acknowledge that the world is not at that space, even if you're the coolest, least biased person in all of on planet Earth. And obviously, whenever you have an NFL player, specifically in not only a very machismo sort of sport, but also America's biggest sport, whenever you have the first player in the sport say, hey, just so you know, and the way he did it was very casual, as if he was just sort of having a conversation. Just, hey, just so you know, I've been meaning to do this for a while. I'm gay. Happy Pride Month. And thanks to my family and my teammates, and I'm so blessed by the life I lead. It's sort of the Cliff's Notes version. You should read the whole post, because it's really interesting. It's very good. It's just very matter of fact in a way that is like, just him living his life, and he's now wants to let you know something that it sounds like a good number of his teammates and certainly friends and family already knew before all of this. But if you're asking, all right, why are we even doing this right now? Why is this something that some people are celebrating? This is one portion of his post that I think is worth noting here. So as I mentioned in my video message, I'm partnering with the Trevor Project. I was immediately drawn to the Trevor Project when I learned about their mission to provide suicide prevention services to the LGBTQ community. Young LGBTQ kids are over 5 times more likely than their straight friends to consider suicide. For someone like me, who has been so lucky and cherishes every day, it brings me incredible sadness to think that our LGBTQ youth are at such an elevated risk for suicide. Then he goes on to cite this stat, that there are studies that have shown that the risk of an LGBTQ kid attempting suicide drops by 40% whenever they have an accepting adult in their life. Whenever you have representation like that in your life, that stuff matters. And for a lot of people, man, I'm a straight white dude who grew up in Kansas and now live in Missouri. Mm-hmm. It has never been hard for me to find representation in literally anything, anywhere. I have no idea what that process feels like firsthand. But like I saw that over the last 2 days, he has the highest selling jersey, the best selling jersey in the NFL. And I think that kicks ass, because it has an example of an organization of football fans, right? Where honestly, it would be impossible to know confidently how NFL fans, Raider fans, NFL players, coaches were going to react, because we have not gone through this process with an active player yet. And to see that be a message of support, if your goal really in your heart is I just want this to never really matter. John Amici was on the Libertard show today, and he acknowledged, this is a dumb thing to care about. No one has ever had to come out and say, just so you guys know, I'm straight and I'm playing football. Getting to a world where this isn't a news story every time would be a great thing. It's also the reason that having things like Pride Nights at the K, which has gotten its plenty of pushback on Twitter, is important. It provides that foothold for people who otherwise may have grown up and lived their lives without ever seeing themselves represented in that way. For Carl Nassib to do that as an active NFL player is awesome. There's no other perspective to have in 2021. We're back tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.